The Gospel of Mark, if you would. Chapter 14. Our church folks will really be surprised. I'm going to Mark chapter 14. We're going through the book of Mark on Sunday mornings. This is the message the Lord's laid upon our heart. Mark chapter 14. Verse number 30. While they're moving towards the arrest of Christ, now they have left the upper room on their way to Gethsemane. Peter, in his brashness and self-confidence, is humbled by the Lord telling him, "This very night you'll deny me. Before this night is over, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." Verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the place of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Matthew's record in chapter 26, verse 58, says similarly those words, but then adds that Peter wanted to see how this was going to end. He wanted to see the end. Then move over, if you would, to verse number 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace of the high priest, the lower level of the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." That's the first denial. And he went out into the porch and the cock crew. That's the first crow of that bird. And the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." We see denial number two in this 70th verse. And we see indication that Peter was identifiable by his language. He had the signs of being from the same place, the same area of Jesus Christ. He said, "Surely you're one of his." But he, verse 71, Peter began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." The one who said, I'll never deny you. The one who said, I'll go to the death for you, is now cursing and swearing and declaring he doesn't know anything about this one named Jesus. That's his third denial. And the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Another gospel record indicates that about this time Christ was able to make eye contact with Peter. Part of his calling to mind the words of Christ and his weeping bitterly. We want to preach on a subject, on a message we've entitled, The Path to the Lower Chamber. The Path to the Lower Chamber. We see in the denial of Jesus, the denial of Peter, a journey, a progression from place to place by the Apostle Peter. We saw in our reading that as they moved Jesus Christ, Peter had his eyes on Jesus Christ and he began to follow. Wherever they were going to take Jesus Christ, Peter was going to go along. And as he followed Christ, we find him here in the lower chamber of the palace of the high priest. The last place he should have been. What a terrible thing it is to see Peter in this place. But we see a journey that Peter made in following Christ and ending up in the lower chamber. Christ is in the upper chamber. He's in the upper floor. Scripture tells us in verse number 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, Christ was above. And in verse number 65, he's being spat upon, he's being covered up, his face is being covered, he's being buffeted. They're mocking him, they're calling out to him to prophesy, they're striking our Lord and Savior with their hands, their Creator. They're beating on him in contempt and disrespect. And Peter's beneath this. As this goes on upstairs, I see Peter downstairs, warming himself by the fires and surrounding himself by the enemies. And we find that he has taken a journey to the lower chamber. Peter was a lot of things. He was an apostle. He was a preacher. But Peter was also a church member. One of the first members of the church that Jesus Christ started during his personal ministry. And I hate to say it, wish I couldn't say it, but there is a large number of those who, like Peter, declare themselves to believe in Jesus Christ and declare themselves to be followers of Jesus Christ, who declare themselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ, who are on the path to the lower chamber. Peter began by following the Lord afar off. And when Peter stood out like a sore thumb, he changed his conduct and he became one of them and acted like them to camouflage himself. He denies his Lord with cursing. Before he's brought to sorrow, repentance, weeping. We're living in a day and time, we've heard much about it in this conference, where it's all about self. This world is all about self. This social media saturated society in which we live is all about self. It's all about our comfort. It's all about not denying ourselves anything. And these things are true concerning God's people. When we talk about Peter, we're not talking about a lost man. We're talking about a Christian. We're talking about one of the Lord's disciples. We're even talking about a preacher. Man of God. Who took the journey to that lower chamber. Are you on the path to the lower chamber? Am I? How many of our church members are on that path to the lower chamber? How many people need a godly sorrow? How many people need the look of the Lord Jesus Christ to convict them of their sins? And how many of God's people need revival? A stirring again of the Spirit of God within them. A calling back to what we once were and how we once served the Lord. As we look at Peter's journey down the path to the lower chamber, those who are on that same path are those who follow Jesus afar off. Oh, they love Jesus. Don't ever accuse them of not loving Jesus. They love Jesus. They love the Lord's church. But they follow the Lord afar off because they don't want to get too close to Jesus. They don't want to get too extreme, because if you get too close to Jesus or you get too extreme, then that's going to cause pain and that's going to cause persecution and that's going to cause suffering. And we do not like to suffer and we don't like persecution. And so we live most of the time our life on the path to the lower chamber. Oh, we're disciples of Christ, but we want enough distance there so that we're not offensive to the world around us. Baptist churches are filled with the world because they're following Christ afar off. They don't want to get carried away. Peter followed afar off because he didn't want to get carried away with Christ. His bravery and his boldness crumbled. He wasn't really willing to die for Jesus. He was afraid of getting caught up in the seizure of Christ and becoming a casualty himself. So we look at the journey here down the path to the lower chamber, we see Peter associating with the wrong crowd, sitting down with the enemies of the Lord, sitting down with those who rejected the Lord, blasphemed the Lord, who had a part in his being seized in the trial of our Lord that was taking place upstairs. And those who are on the path to the lower chamber are those who have too many friendships with the world, too many compromising relationships with those who they know they should not. What was Peter doing in this place, surrounded by those, warming himself along with them? There's much unfaithfulness amongst God's people. There's many friendships God's people have with the world. And those that are unfaithful in their relationship to the Lord, unfaithful in their relationship to the Lord's church, unfaithful in their relationship with their brothers and sisters in Christ, unfaithful to their relationship to those who they have membership in the New Testament Baptist Church along with, those who are unfaithful to the welcoming and the loving of friendship with the world are on the path to the lower chamber. Peter found himself standing out. That had to change. That's why in verse number 71 he began to curse and he began to swear. And he began to really put some emphasis into the fact, I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me add some expletives. Let me talk like you. That was a part of his being on the road, on the path to the lower chamber. God's people many times don't want to stand out. We ought to be readily identifiable, easily to identify. They ought to look at us. They ought to be able to tell by us and our appearance. They ought to be able to tell by our words. That's a Christian. That's a child of God. But those who name the name of Christ, who are on the road to the lower chamber, try to camouflage with the language of the world, the ways of the world, the desires of the world, the behaviors of the world. Peter assimilated their behavior. And it's amazing how many of God's people assimilate the behaviors of the world all around them. All of these things are true because Peter didn't want to be inconvenienced. He didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to be persecuted. He didn't want to suffer any negative consequence for being identified with Christ at this moment. He was being concerned with himself. He was practicing self-preservation. Didn't want that situation to get out of hand and him to end up upstairs. We're living in the day and time where I just can't exaggerate. It's the honest truth. when it seems like nobody who names the name of Christ has any convictions anymore. Where holiness and separation and godliness is sneered at. And any preacher who preaches those things or howled down will not have that. Will not listen to that. Seems like there's more people on the road, on the path to the lower chamber than we've ever had before. I've told our church a few times of late, I've preached and I've taught separation for now close to 40 years. And I'm not going to quit. Amen. By the grace of God, I'm going to go down preaching. Christians ought to act different. Christians ought to talk different. Christians ought to dress different. Christians ought to be identifiable, separate from the world. There shouldn't be any difficulty in identifying us. People who are on the path to the lower chamber are hard to identify. There's much confusion in trying to figure out, is Peter really one of them or not? Christians used to be said, don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't cuss. They don't dance. They don't go to the movies. But none of those things seem to apply anymore. Seems like God's people do all of those things. And my understanding is we have Baptist pastors and Baptist preachers getting on Facebook bragging about and showing pictures of them doing these things that Christians used to not do. They're on the path to the lower chamber. By God's grace, I don't want to be on the path to the lower chamber. It's not legalism. It's evidencing that we've been with Christ. It's evidencing that we're complete in Christ. It's evidencing that He's called us out from the world. And let me just say this, we who are Baptists, we have a double calling. We've been called out in our salvation, but we've also been called out into New Testament Baptist assemblies. So we have a double responsibility to be identifiable to this world. And the last place the world should find us is on the path to the lower chamber. Let them laugh. Let them call us names. Let them accuse us of being old-fashioned and dyed in the wood. Let them say what they will. Let them hate us. Let them persecute us. But let's not take the path to the lower chamber. I have said recently, I really believe that the number of preachers who still believe in these things, particularly about separation, it's getting to where I'm almost wanting to say it, but only take a couple of hands or fingers to count them anymore. Right. They're falling like flies. And many preachers are not just not believing these things, not preaching these things, but we have many Baptist preachers and pastors who are militant against these things, who accuse us of not loving Jesus or not loving sinners. Holiness and separation and godliness has nothing to do with sinners. It has to do with the fact that we're saved by the grace of God and we need to evidence our presence with the Lord every day of our life by being separate from the world as the Scriptures call us to. It's actually being more identified for sinners to see. There is a difference. It doesn't matter what you believe. Churches aren't full of hypocrites. There are some people who really believe and practice these things. Where have standards? Where have convictions? Where have heartfelt belief about these things? Where is it gone? I think about many of my preacher brethren that are now gone to be with the Lord. Men I loved and men I so appreciated. Thank God that I had acquaintance with them and friendship with many. Preached the whole counsel of God. But I found, as these brethren preached the whole counsel of God, that you could find some focus in their ministries. Brother Harry Harvey preached the whole counsel of God, sound and a great man of God. But I would say, overall, he had a tilt towards grace. He preached more on grace than anything I remember ever hearing him preach. Nothing wrong with that. Brother Garner Smith preached the whole counsel of God. But he had a noticeable tilt towards church truth. He preached more about church truth than anything else I can remember. Don Titus preached the whole counsel of God. But I would say my uncle had a tilt towards the practical. He preached a lot and suffered a lot because of his convictions on separation. And he went into many places where it had never been taught before, never been preached before, and he preached it. And this church knows very well he was a faithful minister of those things. I praise God that your pastor believes these things. Has taken a lot of heat, a lot of criticism, because he believes these things. I thank God that although the numbers are getting fewer and fewer, that I can count Brother Dan Gordon as a friend in the ministry of Brother in Christ who still believes in not taking the path to the lower chamber. He's had the out-and-out gall to preach whole messages just about Facebook.
Praise the Lord.
It gets worse. He's had the out-and-out gall to preach an hour and 10 minutes on the subject of Facebook. And people will, under their breath, criticize, say he's extreme, he's carried away. Maybe some would say he's losing it. But I believe with all my heart, one of the greatest scourges in our society today is Facebook,
Amen.
Social media.
Amen.
Because it is all about self. It is all about universalism. It's all about great big numbers of people in unnatural collections. God takes two or three or more and He makes a family. That's natural. God calls out two or three or more into a New Testament Baptist church. That's natural. But there's nothing natural about super large numbers of friends. Where all we do is spill our guts and speak our preferences and what we think. And I know some will say, well, there is some good in it. Well, I still say, if God gave me the power to remove one thing from our culture and our society, that's what I'd remove. If I could just make it go away. It's doing such harm to our churches, causing such compromise. These things that we're calling convictions that separate us, make us different, that lift us off of the road to the lower chamber and puts us on the higher road of walking with Christ. These things are so important. These things are so destructive to the Lord's churches. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay off of the path to the lower chamber. Though I may travel alone, I want to stay on the path with the Lord. Amen. Now I look at this path to the lower chamber. Christ told Peter, "You're going to deny me thrice before the cock crows twice." And I look at Christ foretelling that, and I kind of come away with the conclusion that Peter couldn't have changed that. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is all planning and purposing. The Lord is all knowledge and all knowing. But nowhere should we blame the Lord for what Peter did. I believe Peter had a responsibility to make different choices. I believe Peter had the responsibility to stay on the upward path with Jesus Christ. But the upward path involves greater persecution, greater suffering. And that's an unpopular path. There in that 65th verse, told the church as we came through this passage of Scripture, this gets me every time when I read about them spitting on Jesus. The most vile of things a human being can do. And they spat upon Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. And they covered His head and they mocked Him and they buffeted Him and they called Him to prophesy. They beat Him with their palms. And Peter was beneath in the palace. The cliche, very common expression that we like to throw around is, the Lord hasn't asked us to die for Him. He's only asked us to live for Him. Well, I believe we ought to be willing to die. And some of our forefathers have been called upon to die for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we may not get out of this mess we're in today until the Lord comes. We may not get out of here until we're called upon to die, to be identified with Christ. But nobody wants to suffer. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to have uncountable numbers of friends. Popular. They want the road to be easy. But we've not been called to a road of ease. Christianity was never about comfort. Jesus said, "You want to be my disciple? Take up your cross." He told me, take up your cross and follow me if you want to be my disciple. It's not easy. How many of us are willing to suffer for Christ? To have some convictions in these days when convictions are passé. To believe some things. I don't want to get into a listing, just too many. But should we still believe women shouldn't wear pants? Amen. Should we still believe that in 2018? A woman who wears a decent length dress or skirt stands out like a sore thumb. That's what it's supposed to do. It shows modesty. It shows some convictions. Should we really say women wearing pants is wrong? Yes, we should. Should we really say it's wrong for men to take off their shirts? Without any conscience at all? Or to wear their pants so tight they can't bend over? No. Modesty is required in men also. No. Breaks my heart every time I hear about one of God's people going to a dance. Message all in itself. It's immodest. It's not appropriate. It stirs flesh. You can't take the temple of the Lord and rub it against the body of somebody of the opposite sex and think you're going to have pure thoughts. Well, that's ancient history. Nobody believes that anymore. There was a time when preachers didn't believe you should even go roller skating. because you went roller skating and the organ played. And if it was church night, they played religious music. Used to be a time when preachers didn't even believe you should do that because it simulated and looked too much like dancing. Look where we are now. Churches and preachers see nothing wrong with it. And you're probably able to find, if you look long enough, churches that have dances. Do we care enough to be on the road along with Christ and suffer at all cost, even if it's our life, because of our love for Him? Nothing to do with salvation, keeping ourselves saved, earning salvation, getting Bozo prizes or bonus buttons. Just because we love the Lord and He's called us to separation and distinguishment? Is there anything wrong with being on that road? Staying off the road, the path that leads to the lower chamber? I ask myself, and when I came through this portion of Scripture at home, I asked these things verbally. Is there any hope of our weeping over our sins? Is there any hope of God's people weeping over their compromise and their lack of convictions and their open practice of worldliness? Is there any hope of us being so convicted over these things that we get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ and we just weep and we're brought to repentance and we ask for forgiveness and we get off of the road to the lower chamber? Is there any hope? I don't know. Well, there is the hope. But will we ever see it? All of our churches, I'm sure, have people who are on the path to the lower chamber. And the only remedy is going to be getting a glimpse of Jesus Christ, having our hearts broken, and weeping. And I don't know if God's people are at a point where they're going to ever be able to do that again. I say that because I can't remember the last time I saw it. This conference, in its early days, had the Spirit of God manifest by people being brought to tears. Folks were saved. Folks were called to preach. Folks got right. This conference has a history of the Spirit of God working that way. But how long has it been since you have seen a Baptist church filled with people weeping over their sins and weeping over being on the path to the lower chamber? Weeping, not crocodile tears, but weeping with a real God-given determination. I'm going to change. Because I guarantee you, I have made some people mad right here now. I can tell by the expression of faces. Some of you ain't too thrilled. But that wasn't my intention. Peter spoke of great things and boasted great things. He even said he would die for Jesus. And it wasn't long before he was on that road to the lower chamber, cussing and cursing, compromising, trying to camouflage that he was a disciple of Christ. All of us started off just like Peter, loving the Lord, being willing even to die for the Lord. But oh, how easily we have gotten ourselves on the road, the path to the lower chamber. Are you the Christian you used to be? Do you have the convictions you used to? Were you as easily identified as a Christian today as you were 20 years ago? Are we willing to weep over that? That's what it's going to take. And the Lord's worth it. He's not called us to a life of ease. He's called us to suffering and persecution. And not to be ashamed of His name. And He in fact told us, if they've done this to me, they're going to do it to you. That's what He's called us to. Are we up to the challenge? Are we up to the charge? Have we ever suffered anything for Christ? Thank you, brother.